Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily Podcast, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We saluted a Scottish football coach. He's been coaching for 66 years, man and boy. Larry Birrell. He was quite a character, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. A few short answers.
A few short answers. Questions. And then a few
like
long ones
sort of
we weren't expecting. But no, he was a lovely fella. Tony Incenzo, of course, you'll know him from Saturday afternoons reporting for TalkSport, but he is also something of a groundhopper, and the lengths he has gone to watch very minor games of football is incredible.
I'd say he's Mr. Groundhopper.
I think
really.
He probably is. So you'll hear from Tony. We had a chat with him. We talked about various things. We started the show with not much.
With nothing.
We managed to kind of conjure something up along the way. So we hope you enjoy it. Here's the best bits.
I was reading about a conference this morning in the paper. Yeah, it was fascinating. This conference, what you do is you wear a badge to indicate how social you want to be. I like this idea.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you wear a green badge, it means you're happy to talk about anything,
right,
basically,
yeah, yeah.
Anybody that comes up to you. If you wear a yellow badge, that means visitors must wait until you speak to them. So they're happy to speak to you, but they've got to make the first...
What country is this in?
In Britain.
Okay, yeah.
And
it's not sort of Japan.
No, this is in Roehampton University, London.
Okay.
The idea was to say that it's like a safe space for people to talk in. And then a red badge, meaning no one should approach them at all and they don't want to talk to you.
Wow.
Guess what colour I'm wearing?
I mean, if we all did that in life...
That would be great, wouldn't it?
You'd like that, would you?
I'd love that.
It's an those things can be.
I might wear a yellow badge. I mean, I'd wear.
Tell
red.
You what, some people would come up and have a chat with you, and then but
they'd
you'd have to
wait
instigate
until I spoke to them first. Yeah.
But okay, so what if you're both wearing yellow badges?
That's a problem.
They haven't thought this through, have they?
No, they haven't.
Sort of standing there going.
That's a very good point, actually.
And they're just colouring it red. That's weird. Although these sorts of things can be a bit eggy. There's nothing like making someone or yourself being made feel special. Is that you meet somebody and you go up and say, "Hello, Chris, mate, how are you? I haven't seen you for years." And they immediately look at your badge. "Oh, hello, Paul. Yeah, how are you? How's the person that you're with? Are you still with? Who are you?" I mean, that can be a bit eggy when they look at your chest.
Could be a bit of a problem, but there you go. What can you? Oh, yeah, when people were wearing a name badge.
Yeah.
Now, Carl Froch, we talked about him last week, being a flat earther, but he also thinks that the moon landing was fake. Honestly, I mean, he's quite staggering.
Was it Carl Froch or Freddie Flintoff?
No, Carl Froch. It was both of them.
You sure? I mean, they're both believers.
They're both flat earth believers, and Carl also thinks the moon landing was fake.
Okay.
But wasn't...
Well, he's not alone in that. It's not like... This
no,
is,
no, he's
this,
not alone. But who is that... One of the blokes, not Neil Armstrong...
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin. Didn't he knock somebody out?
No, yeah.
Well, I'd see him try that on Carl Froch.
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin, at that stage, kind of, in the early 70s? The bloke always doorsteps him, doesn't he? It's on YouTube. I'm sure you've seen it, folks. But he's always doorstepped by this bloke. He'll just be like going, he'll be walking around sort of Target with his missus or something, or Home Depot. And then this bloke appears from behind the nuts and bolts with a Bible and says, "Buzz Aldrin, swear on this that you went to the moon." Mm. And he just had enough. He'd had enough of this bloke just popping up in various places. So he... he knocked him out.
Well, that's fair enough, isn't it?
It was a catchweight. I mean, he's not a big man, Buzz, but he was punching up.
Yeah, I wouldn't give him much of a chance against Carl Froch.
No, I mean, that wouldn't be... Carl comes up to him with a Bible, and he is about 20 years older now, Buzz. But I don't... That's not Carl's style. No. I think he'll inwardly know. Well, he inwardly think that the moon landings were fake.
Well, he believes it, so...
When was he asked that? Was it... Did Johnny Nelson ask him? During the undercard or something?
I don't know.
When did that all come up?
Doesn't say when it came up, really. Just says, the Earth is flat 100%. There's no proof of the Earth's curvature.
Yeah. Well, of all the Sky pundits, Scott, does Johnny think that Kennedy was killed by the Mafia?
They're only picked
on their conspiracy theories to come in. Anthony Croll is going to have to get working on some kind of conspiracy theory, definitely.
And the world's first cannabis restaurant is opened in California.
Wow, yeah.
And it has sommeliers, you know, like the guys that advise on wine, who advise customers on which food pairings go with which dope. It's incredible, isn't
okay.
it? Bowl of Cocoa Pops and six slices of toast and peanut butter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it could well be that.
Today's Star Scare story is incredible, even by their standards. Almost getting into the... What was that, the other paper that was really bonkers?
Inquirer.
Yeah, like the National Inquirer.
The Sunday Sport.
Yeah, the Sport.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Giant plant that eats sheep. UK shores.
Yeah.
A plant that eats sheep by trapping them in its razor sharp spikes has taken root in mainland Britain. It's basically, it's quite a terrible thing, this, but
it's a giant trifid-like plant
has been spotted growing in a flower bed in Truro in Cornwall. So it hasn't spread...
Just there?
Yeah. There's only one plant, so I wouldn't get too worried about it.
Has
it
worked its way up to sheep? Has it had the odd chicken?
No, it hasn't.
So how do they know it eats
sheep? The town's
head
gardener, Liam Shoesmith, said it usually grows around the Andes Mountain where goats and sheep get their wool caught on its hooks. Which are quite nasty, really.
So then, what does it do once it's caught them?
They can't escape. So eventually, they die quite a horrible.
Only because they've got
death.
Stuck on it. They're not kind of sucked in.
No, it's not like a Venus.
Sorry, you're listening to Talksport, by the way. It's a full program of League Cup action tonight.
Yeah. I love the fact it's called El Clasicoast. That's a good name for it, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Who's so come up good. With that? Is that a new thing?
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
I was
before.
Reading a bit of the history.
I think
of
it was
the
in
fixture.
Alex
Crook.
Crook.
Right. You're on fire today. We should have done Don't Ask Me today here in mainline Britain.
That was terrible yesterday.
Yeah. You've not been to that restaurant in California, have you?
No, I don't think so.
Just flown in.
Yeah, I went for breakfast.
Just, sounds like
yeah,
it.
I know. It's bad, isn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, you'll know Tony Incenzo from his fine work here on TalkSport, match reporting, often at QPR because he never misses. But what you may not know about Tony is that he's got an extensive raft of non-league matches that he has taken in over the years. And he's in the building today and he showed us his book, The Bible. It's a new book. He's probably filled up thousands of them over the years. And he's got some great old war stories of games that he's taken in. So good afternoon, Tony.
Yeah, good afternoon, chaps. It's called Groundhopping. And what I'm trying to do is to visit as many different football grounds as possible. We're all football fans on TalkSport. I mean, I've heard shows where Andy has been on air and he's dashed off in a taxi to go straight to Chelsea because he didn't want to miss the game. We're all football fans.
Yeah.
So I like to get out and get to as many games as possible. And I've visited now 2,317 different non-league grounds. I had a good trip last week, special permission to go inside RAF Northolt. I found a new league that I hadn't seen a match in called the RAF London League, the only problem being that all the matches are played behind closed doors, so you've got to get special permission to go in. And
what do they say to you when you phone up? Are they normally quite accommodating? Have you ever got any no's?
Bit of a security risk.
Do you know, the only match I've ever wanted to go to that I didn't get into was about 6 or 7 years ago, and they played a match inside Buckingham Palace on the Queen's Lawn round the back to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the FA. And I tried everywhere. I tried every contact I know at the FA. I tried the Buckingham Palace press office. I just couldn't get in. Somebody said you should go along dressed up as a milkman and say I've come to deliver the Queen's milk. But I didn't want to get arrested and get turned away.
Yeah, that's high risk.
But RAF Northolt, fantastic. The attendance I counted it very carefully. I counted it again to make sure, write it down in my book. Attendance of one.
You were the only one.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've had that before. I've been inside a couple of prisons to watch football matches, only for a couple of hours, not staying there. And again, attendance of one. And it's
did
great.
The teams wear stripes?
One of them did, yeah. But,
stripes, you know, versus arrows. Yeah.
great fun, you know. And everywhere you go, it's fantastic camaraderie, sporting environment, and everybody is very, very friendly.
So is there a bit of a one-upmanship, the fact you've got into prisons and you've been to RAF Northolt, will that kind of resonate in the groundhopper community? Will they be saying, oh...
Is there a community?
There is. One of the best examples of the groundhopper community was in March 2004. We had an organised day where we set a world record and we got Guinness Book of Records certificates. We wanted to see as many football matches in one day on as many different football grounds as possible. And it was in the Central Midlands League in the Nottinghamshire and Derbyshire area. And we saw five matches in one day at five different football grounds. 11 o'clock kickoff at Greenwood Meadows in Nottingham. There's a road in Nottingham where there are three little football grounds next door to each other. So 11 o'clock kickoff at Greenwood Meadows, 1 p.m. kickoff at Pelican Football Club, lovely name. 3 o'clock kickoff, another lovely name, Dunkirk Football Club. 5:30 Sandy Acre, and 8 o'clock at Graham Street Prim. So 250 of us got Guinness Book of Records certificates. Now, that weekend, I decided to make a weekend of it. I took my girlfriend at the time, stayed in a nice hotel the night before. On the day of the game...
We should point out she's now your wife. You didn't put her off.
No, this is a previous girlfriend.
Oh, right. Sorry, Tony.
Yeah.
All right, OK, we won't talk about that.
Well, we will, because what happened was we went to the first game...
You did put her off.
And I said, well, it was 11 o'clock in the morning. She wanted a drink, and she had a couple of drinks, and she had another drink at half-time. So halfway through the second match, she said... Look, take me back to the hotel. I'm not feeling very well. I've had too much to drink. Take me back. And I said, we're trying to set a Guinness Book of Records world event here.
We're
trying to get our world record certificates. I'm not going back. So funnily enough, that was the last time I ever saw her. She got in a taxi. She got a taxi and disappeared. I never saw her again.
Wow-wee. So, what does your wife make of it all? Does she go to games with you?
Yeah, my wife now, we've been married 4 years and we've got a little girl. And when we first got married, I bought her a great big wall chart, a map of Great Britain.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if you come to football with me, you can have a red sticker for every place in the country that we visit. And now she's got about 200 stickers, red stickers on the wall. And if we go to a tourist attraction, she gets a green sticker. So she's been to places she's never, because of football, she's been to places like Stonehenge and Cadbury's World.
This
and,
your wife or your
yeah,
daughter?
Oh,
your
wife. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. And my daughter now is 9 months old. She's right. Come to a few games, so she gets a purple sticker on the map. And the map is getting covered. And if we go to a beach near the football, they get a yellow sticker. So we make a
I
whole
like the sticker reward system,
very
Tony.
Good system.
Wonder what my missus would make of a sticker reward system.
I have no idea. I was going
to
say that.
I think she'd tell me where to stick it, to be honest, but there we are.
What made you start this right in the beginning? What was the sort of genesis of it?
Well, I started off, I've always supported QPR. I grew up in Northwest London, so my family were QPR season ticket holders. But when QPR weren't playing at home, I started to go and watch my local non-league clubs, which were Hendon, the old Finchley Football Club, Barnet, Edgware. Then I started to go to a few away games with them. Then I got a book from the London FA, which listed all the senior clubs in London. There were about 100 non-league clubs in London, so I went to all of them. And then started on the 92 league grounds, finished them at Liverpool, at Anfield when I was 17. By the time I was 19, I'd been to every Scottish league ground. And then I set off on the non-league grounds. In total, I've been to over 5,100 football matches in my life.
Blimey.
A couple of thousand live radio games, because obviously working every Saturday, Tuesday for Talk Sport is a big thing. And then every QPR home game.
You must be good at reading a game. I mean, you must have seen it all.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all good fun. As I said, everybody who works for Talk Sport is a football fan. You'll get Adrian Durham, and he'll head off after a show to go and watch Peterborough in midweek. The Moose, if he's not working, he'll go out and watch Boreham Wood in midweek. You guys are great football fans. You know, and I've seen Paul play for the Spurs Legends team. A couple of the games in my book featured Paul playing.
I'm in the book.
He's in the book.
Yeah,
playing at left back, you know.
Yeah, that's
we're
right.
All
being chatted
fans.
By
are they
Miller.
All grounds, or are some of these like Wormwood Scrubs, or some of these actual sort of just a pitch in a park sort of thing?
Some of them are. I mean, I'm trying to visit every senior club. The senior clubs, I would say, go down to step 6 of non-league football, which is step 10 of the non-league pyramid. So I've done everything down to step 5. At step 5, I need 9 in the whole country. And at step 6, I need 59 in the whole country. But quite often I'll go out. Last week, I went to a match in the Hitchin Sunday League in a park in Stevenage. And the crowd was 9. But Ashley Young was there, the Manchester United winger.
Really?
He grew up in Stevenage and he was just sitting with a couple of his mates.
That's a bonus if you go all that way. Yeah. Like that's there.
So is there, finally, Tony, is there a kind of, if anybody's listening that's got a game of football on, or be it behind closed doors, you're interested in coming within reason. If you can get there around working for TalkSport, getting the QPR, you're interested in hearing about some other kind of niche fixtures, are you?
Yeah, I'll go and watch anything. Every game of football is a tick in my book.
I mean, have you done the Channel Islands one where those two play each other every week?
Yeah, that's the Scilly Isles. I've been to matches in the Channel Islands on Guernsey, Jersey, Alderney is good. But that's one of the holy grails is the Scilly Isles, where there's the smallest league in the world. The worst trip I ever had was to Albania because I had a rat in my hotel room and I had to call the police to get rid of the rat.
The police?
And then the three police came in and for recompense, they wanted to stay the night with me in the room. But I can't say what they actually wanted because it's a family show.
Oh, blimey. Well, that's and on that bombshell.
We'll recommend that one on TripAdvisor.
Three coppers want to stay. I love the fact you dial 999, they'll come out for a rat in Tirana. I was told years ago by a groundhopper that there was one guy that was so obsessive, he'd gone hundreds of miles to get to a game. He'd had problems with the trains and he got there 10 minutes late. And he ran on the pitch and said to the referee, "Can you restart the match? Yeah. Please, will you restart?" I mean, you've never done that, I take
it. No, there is a video of that on YouTube, and he was very, very annoyed. His name's Barry. I mean, there's another.
That doesn't surprise me.
There's another groundhopper who won't count a 0-0 draw. So if he goes and it's a 0-0 draw,
he has to go back.
Has to go back to the next available match there. And there's another guy who has to touch the two crossbars at every non-league ground. He walks down the middle of the pitch, touches the two crossbars before the game.
Some would say that's obsessive behaviour, but not us.
No, fantastic. No, of course not.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're keeping an eye on the county championship game between Essex and Somerset.
It's quite exciting, actually.
This is the kind of season decider, and a draw would be enough for Essex, wouldn't it, Andy, I think? And
they're in a great position, but Somerset fighting back with Jack Leach, England's finest batsman.
Yeah.
Honestly, the umpire just got that so
That's
wrong.
It in middle, isn't it? I think Midland leg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really
is it in leg, to be fair?
Full on, though.
Yeah, full on.
Oh, that's a pretty poor decision, isn't it?
Yeah. No DRS, obviously.
No.
So
what can you do?
So he survives that one. But yeah, we can. 172 for 9. They have rallied Somerset, yeah. And so they're making a fist
rain
of it.
Rain will probably intervene, though.
Rain will do for it over the next couple of days, certainly, because they lost most of yesterday.
Okay, here you are with a T20 birthday spread, the short, exciting version.
So this is just a single birthday.
Single birthday.
Pele will join us, I'm sure, in a few moments.
Pele,
time. But I've got to try and guess this person's age, have I?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have. Let me have a look at him.
Roughly, how many years?
I'm going to give you a good margin here because I've never heard of him and it's quite tricky. So I'm going to give you 15, which is a good margin.
Oh, wow, 15, okay.
Well, that's pretty too high. I'll give you 10.
All right, blimey, you change your mind quickly.
15 is ridiculous.
All right, then, 10. I've got to be within 10 years either way of this person.
It's a very happy birthday to the theatre and opera director, Tim Supple.
Tim Supple.
And I know Tim quite well, actually, because I needed some assistance with a musical I'm producing. And Tim bent over backwards to help me.
Did he?
He's very supple, obviously.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, you don't have to say he's very supple, obviously. If you do.
Well, I know some people. I looked across in the gallery and some of them were looking a bit nonplussed.
It's a bit like.
So I thought I'd explain it to them.
It's a bit like an impressionist coming and saying, "Oh, what? It's my old friend Tommy Cooper."
I do that all the time.
Yeah. Shouldn't have to say. Well, that's right. You shouldn't have to say the name of the person you're doing. Really.
That's my impersonation of John Gwynne. I can't do it without saying John Gwynne.
John Gwynne constantly. Yeah. Tim Supple. I wouldn't have a clue. Tim's quite a youngish name, isn't it? Although you got Tim Rice, haven't you? He's not that young. Right. With respect to him,
Timothy Supple.
What does he do, Tim Supple?
He's a theatre and opera director, Tim Supple.
Supple's ready. Go, Supple's ready. I'm going to go 62.
Very good. He's 57, so you're well there. That's within, five. Within five. Tremendous effort
within
there.
Five there.
Well done.
Very pleased with that. So, good, thank you. Anything else, Andy?
Kim Kardashian turned up at the Emmys, the television awards on Sunday night.
Not the rugby league, then?
No. Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Man of Steel Awards. That's always her favourite.
Be at the Man of Steel Awards, yeah.
That's right.
And he went there for the free bachelor's peas in the goodie bag.
She was wearing a bustle that was designed to enhance her already quite magnificent backside.
Oh, okay. Describe it. Your words or theirs in the paper?
Well, I sort of praised them.
Okay, yeah.
And honestly, though, look at it. I mean, Fred Truman would have loved it. What a fast bowler she would have been, though, with a beam like that. Tremendous.
That's very true, yeah. I often do look at her and think Fred Truman would have loved her. That's the first thing to me that immediately springs
to mind.
That's
what I think, yeah. Why not? And looking forward to a new football-based comedy from our old mate Ian Morris, who worked with us on Fantasy Football. He, of course, wrote The Inbetweeners. What's the guy who wrote it with? I do apologise. That's daft.
Dame Beasley,
that's right. And, hopefully we'll get him in. But that sounds good, because it's quite hard to do a football-based comedy. I think it's about sort of professional players.
We're going to be joined tomorrow by a screenwriter, out of a big Hollywood screenwriter. And among the things he's written, Jurassic Park, and lots of other big Hollywood blockbusters.
Good, isn't it? Yeah.
And we'll talk about that, the art of the sports movie. He's a big sports fan.
You don't get that many, do you?
Well, no. You do. But, I mean, they are quite hard to pull off in terms of the kind of action scene. Certainly football has always proved to be a bit of an issue, isn't it? Really?
I've got some news of the Duchess of Sussex, Megan. She says that she plans to rediscover her love of cooking on tour in South Africa after she and Prince Harry started having meals delivered from the Queen's chef. The feasts are regularly delivered from Windsor Castle to their cottage nearby.
Sounds like a little moped.
Yeah, Royal Deliveroo. It's sensational, isn't it?
So he comes over on his little scooter, does he?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
What a nice idea.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We salute now, and as have the SFA, a football coach of 66 years standing in and around Greenock. And his name is Larry Brilley. He joins us now. Good afternoon, Larry.
Hello. Good morning.
Good afternoon to you. And congratulations. The Scottish Football Association have honoured you for your services to the game.
Yeah, excellent, yeah.
Yeah.
What a nice thing. Tell us a bit about your career. It says a little thing in front of me. You've been managing for 66 years, seven teams. Yeah. I mean, when did you first get into football?
Well, I loved football since I was a boy, and I started my team when I was just over 18. My own team, under-21, secondary juvenile. And from there, we just carried on quite a few years, went amateur in different places, Scottish Amateur League.
You started out as you played yourself then, did you? And then you kind of went into management.
Yes, I played a long time, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever come close, Larry? Did you have a chance of turning pro? Were any of the clubs after you? Were you that good?
Bags of skill, but I didn't have the biggest heart in the world, you know. I had a lot of skill.
People often say that the other way around, don't they? They said, I had a big heart, but I didn't have a lot of skill. You reckon it was the other way around with you?
I was the other way around, yeah.
Yeah. So were you kind of wee and jinky? Were you? What position did you play?
Still probably a ball. I could do end with a ball, actually, yeah.
Wow. That's good. I mean, there's a great tradition of Scottish managers, none finer than Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, how would you describe your managerial style?
Well, we've had a lot of, when we started at first, we got a few kind of tankings at under 21, a lot of good teams, Port Rangers, Port Rovers, Woodhull Boys, Guild, Bel Air, you know. Mm. We've improved as we came along and made quite a few good teams. We won a league, 11 league titles in the leagues we're in.
Wow.
And we've won 23 out of 36 cup finals.
Wow, that's good.
That is impressive. Yeah. What do you,
I've got a good record myself, actually. I've got 36 penalty kicks out of 37. I think people think I'm kidding on about this. 36 out of 37. The one I missed was a waterlogged part, and the ball stuck about 3 feet for the goal, and the goalkeeper dived at the other corner.
You've got to blame the conditions.
That's very. 36 out of 37 pens. That's sort of.
That's true, honestly.
Ray Stewart country. That's very impressive.
So,
yeah.
What do you get from the Scottish FA? Is there some kind of ceremony that they present you?
I think they've done it already. Yeah, we saw some pictures with Stevie Clark and everybody. It's lovely. Yeah.
We were up in the Hotel 10, Queen's Drive, on the Monday the 9th. We got a lovely meal. We got 3 tickets for the Scotland-Belgium game.
Lovely.
And I got the £50 for shopping award. And then last Thursday the 19th, we were up in Hampden, met Steve Clark. He gave me my trophy. He's a very nice person. And I got a lovely award I've got here. It says on it, Best Volunteer in Adult Football Award to Larry Verrilli. And I got a lovely big frame picture. Glass frame picture. Brilliant. Beautiful.
I think Steve could have done with you in the dugout for that Belgium game, Larry, couldn't he? Really? Did you say anything on the pitch? Were you making notes?
Well, I felt sorry for the manager because they've just not got enough good players at the moment. You know, it's a shame.
I mean, Belgium are very good. You know, you can't really measure yourself against them.
Excellent.
Any of your boys gone on to be pros, Larry? Any boys over the years that went on to have pro careers that played for your teams?
We had quite a few when we were younger. The goalkeeper called Jim Hunter, who was interested by Everton, but nothing really came of it eventually. He was only 17 when he played. Mm. And they had quite a few went junior, of course, but...
I saw a little film of you still managing your team, and you've lost none of your enthusiasm, and you're still out there. And I saw it was a big 8-2 win in the film I saw for your boys, and you're celebrating every goal. Yeah.
The BBC come down to televise it, and we turned out with 11 players exactly. The other team is about maybe 2 or 3 points ahead of us, and I honestly thought we'd have got a bit of a tanking.
Yeah.
But we won 8-2. We're absolutely brilliant that day.
Fantastic. And the boys say nice things about you, Larry. Mm. They say you're one of the great characters, and you still feel relevant. It must be hard as you get older and you're dealing with younger fellas, and you've still got to tell them what to do and still be relevant. That can't be easy, but you're obviously still doing it.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. And so no
I
plans...
Still enjoy it.
Yeah, that's the important thing. No plans to retire then?
Not at the moment.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Good man.
Well done, Larry. That's fantastic.
Cheers, Larry. All the best and continued success with the team. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, dokie. Thank you very much now.
There we are. Larry Burley there.
What a man.
66 years in football, man.
Go
and find that little film.
These are the people that are so important for football, for grassroots. You know, it's brilliant.
Yeah. There's that little film is out there of his team winning 8-2. What a top man.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That's this afternoon's show. We're back tomorrow. Among our guests, a top Hollywood screenwriter. Who loves his sport, so what more do you want? We will catch up with you then, Tim Vickery and all that as well. Have a fine evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.